Steve Arterburn here for New Life Live. Thanks for joining me today with Dr. John Townsend. Listen to what Phillips Brooks said back in the 1800s. I love this. Tomb, thou shalt not hold him longer. Death is strong, but life is stronger. Stronger than the dark, the light. Stronger than the wrong, the right. Faith and hope triumphant say, Christ will rise on Easter Day. And that is why we're here, is because Christ did rise on Easter. We'll talk about that and some other things here today on New Life Live. Join us. Hi, Steve Arterburn here. Welcome to a special edition of New Life Live. This is Classic Friday, and all of our calls have already been taken and answered many, many months or years ago. We brought back some of the best. So welcome to New Life Live on Classic Friday.
I've been listening for a couple of years now, and I really appreciate the loving way that you help people.
Hey, listen, if you were a weirdo before you became a Christian, guess what? You are a weirdo today. It doesn't instantly change your character.
And today, I took it a step further, and I actually went to a strip club, sat there for about 10 minutes, and thought, what am I doing?
Now, I just want you to notice something that Henry was saying to you, okay?
Okay.
He used the two strokes and a poke method. Hello, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Stephen Arterburn here with Dr. John Townsend and your phone calls. And hey, John.
Good morning and good afternoon, Steve. And hi, everybody.
Yeah. Glad we're
wherever,
all...
Wherever we're broadcast.
You know, some of us, I think, have a new appreciation for Easter, having seen the Passion.
After the Passion.
I mean, I do.
Yeah.
I sure think I got a little better handle on what that was like. It wasn't like this little tidy portrait you see with a little cute crown of thorns with a little drop of blood coming down on the forehead there.
No.
That's just not the ticket.
No, it's not a bookmark thing.
No. I think that is where I saw that, a bookmark. Oh, my goodness. But, you know, it is so neat to believe in Christ and for it to make sense.
Yeah.
And you see these people that, you know, they're not Christians and they're looking and they're trying to get it all figured out. And they stumble onto the Gospel of John, and they read it, and they figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just wonderful, because it makes sense. We can't get to God without a sacrifice of Jesus Christ.
You know what always impresses me around Easter time is the willingness and the intentionality and the autonomy of Jesus. He was just nobody's victim. It is finished. He had a plan. He had a mission. And when you see that, you kind of realize that whoever you think, if you're not a believer in Jesus, or you kind of think about these issues, whoever you have to put him, you have to put him as a guy who knew what was going to happen and walked right into it, and somehow makes sense of that.
I tell you, John, the word willingness. I mean, that is a word we need to look at and copy that. If you want to destroy a marriage, I can tell you how to do it. You just be unwilling to look at yourself at all. Are unwilling to change, or unwilling to give somebody grace. That word you use, willingness, wow.
Or unwilling to sometimes prefer somebody else's betterment before us, our own.
Yep. That's right. Well, I don't know what you're struggling with, but I hope you're willing to deal with it. You know, for so many of us, well, you know, we have attention problems. I saw a thing on TV the other night about ADD caused by watching television. Did you see that?
No.
I saw part of it, then I lost my train of thought. But I think it was saying that because we watch TV, we have a short attention span, and it's hard for us to pay attention. But
that's why I think people just need to listen to radio. I think it cures ADD.
I hadn't thought of that.
Our program, I think, is the resolution.
That's right. I was talking to Madeline yesterday, and she was just looking straight ahead. I was expecting, you know, one of those responses like, uh-huh. And then she looks at me and she goes, oh, I zoned out. I said, I'm sure that you rarely do that during devotional times and when I'm talking. She said, yeah, Dad. So what do you think about soccer, food, and TV? I said, are those the most fun things in your life? She says, yeah, that's what I like the best.
Well, in that sense, we all should have a little ADD, because life is hard. You need to be able to zone out to those things that are pleasant.
True.
But it's important to focus when it's time to focus,
right.
Like when you're driving across a railroad track. Focus.
Very good time.
Very important.
Very, very good time. And if you're stuck on the railroad track, an even better time to focus.
Don't zone out.
Yeah. We'll take a break and come back with your phone calls here on New Life Live.
You're listening to a classic program from the archives of New Life Live. To order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. The boys will be right back.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Welcome back to this classic program from the archives of New Life Live. To make a tax-deductible gift or to order any of the products mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're back. Stephen Arterburn here with Dr. John Townsend and your phone calls now. Some of you might be wondering, do we want you to call? Do we like you to call? We love for you to call. We love it.
We really do.
Yeah. And we love it when you call and you want to talk about your problem.
Mm.
We love that. Now, we also want you to talk about other things, but we love it when somebody calls and says, hey, I got a problem.
And then they say, my problem is like living with me.
Well,
but that happens. We take that too.
And we're happy with it. Dawn, Arlington, Virginia, WAVA, how you doing?
I am fine. How are you guys?
Good.
Good.
How could I help you today? Or how could we help you today? Or how could God help you through us today?
Well, hopefully all of you could help me, plus God. I have been married for 4 years and to a wonderful man. But I have just been struggling with anger. Like, It was worse the first year and a half of our marriage, and it's gotten better.
When you put the word wonderful in there, and then you do the but thing, you know, it's not. We know it's not going to go well here. What is he doing on not the wonderful side of things, but the but side of things?
Every so often.
Yeah. Now and then.
Okay.
Even though he's
basically
wonderful.
I have super high expectations, and when he doesn't meet my expectations, I seem to blow up with, and he's, it's not like anything total consistently, but he tends to be, well, let me just say he's an artist, which doesn't make him automatically flighty and irresponsible, but sometimes he can, you know, financially, he's not totally always all there. And
you know, Don,
like,
we probably need some specifics here, because when somebody says he's slightly irresponsible, either you're accurate there and every now and then he misses a payment, or you're codependent and you guys are now living, you know, on the street. So tell us what specifically he does financially to give us a picture.
Okay. He just hasn't like lately kept up with the books like I thought he was, and bounced a couple checks.
Okay.
And then another thing is, like, our first year and a half, he's a goer, and he has a list of things, and he wants to knock them off during the day, and I ask him to do something, and I found that my stuff was always coming at the bottom, and then sometimes it wouldn't get done.
Okay.
And
now
then
these
there
are things to be upset about. There are problems, but your suspicion is your reaction is like these are kind of misdemeanors, and your reaction is a felony reaction.
Right.
Okay. Did you have this kind of temper thing before you met him?
No, I didn't. I hardly ever got angry, and we have gone to counseling, like maybe 5 times recently to a really good counselor, really insightful. Wise counselor, but that's the thing. I mean,
has the counselor unearthed why you have changed?
Pardon?
Has the counselor unearthed the reasons why you changed?
He's kind of uncovered that, you know, with just going back to childhood, my father is still very much a perfectionistic and very much in control, And my mom was kind of out of control with her anger and yelled a lot at us kids. And so, you know, he's basically, you know, saying that I need to give myself grace first. Mm-hmm. You know, like if like we went to the paint store, we were painting our room, and he brought home the second coat of paint, second gallon of paint, and we painted the whole room, and he didn't find out what type of finish to put on it. So the first coat was flat, the second coat was semi-gloss, and then when I found that out, I just blew up. But first of all, I didn't tell him when he was going out the door, so it was my fault, too.
Let's look at your high expectations before you met him. Were they always met by your other relationships, your friends, the people you dated? Like, is he the first person that's ever disappointed those expectations?
No, I had a couple relationships that let me down.
Okay, and did you have the same kind of rage?
No, I had more crying with those.
Okay.
And now I get really angry.
Okay, I think we got a picture, so what's your question?
Well, just how to even change my mindset, or what exactly I need to do with this anger, or, you know, to diffuse it before it even, you know, comes up, or, you know, what's either the cure or the preventative maintenance of it.
Okay. I want to ask one further question.
Okay.
What is the most unhealthy habit or choice you've made in reaction to your disappointment and anger with your husband?
My most unhealthy is yelling at him and just feeling like totally out of control and just yelling at him and calling him words that, you know, aren't nice, and telling him that he's a certain way I generalize, and you always do this, and you
but
never.
But you don't ever compare him to other men and think maybe somebody else would have been much more wonderful to be married to.
Now that you brought that up, yes, I struggled with that from my previous relationship. Mm-hmm. I compared him when we were. That's so terrible to even say, but I compared him to a previous relationship. Yes, like especially our first year of marriage.
Well, one thing I would say in your answering your question what to do is, first, you have to give that up, because he'll never win, because, you know, the other guy isn't living with you.
Right.
And you've kind of idealized that relationship.
Yeah.
So that's just one part of this. But, boy, I'll tell you, I think the default for women who are dissatisfied and frustrated and angry at their husband is comparison to other men.
So that's common.
Very common.
I felt guilty about that. I struggle with guilt in myself.
Well,
and then,
I don't know what John thinks, but I think a woman being disappointed in her husband is one of the most common things that you see, and
sure,
how she handles the fact that the dream didn't come true, that she isn't living in a fairy tale. I think that has everything to do with how things go forward, but that's just one piece of it.
Yeah, Don, that piece means that sometimes marriage becomes symbolized as the place that we can, you know, keep perfectionistic fantasies as a little child, like it should be this way, and especially if you've got kind of the background that you've got, you've taken in a lot of experiences of the way life should be, and also the anger that happens when it's not that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your dad was the way it should be. He's the perfectionist. And your mother was the, here's how mad I am when it's not that way.
Mm-hmm.
So you took those two habits with you.
Mm-hmm.
So now a lot of people kind of go, well, when I'm married, it'll be this way. And then they have a very difficult time adjusting to the good things that are there and the disappointments. So number one is you need to become friends with grief.
Mm-hmm.
Mad people who are perfectionistic must enter grief and become sad. How are you with that?
I've had my moments, but
I don't mean moments. I mean a season where you give up. You see, what you do is you give up the illusion that you can really change somebody.
Mm-hmm.
and you give up the fantasies, and you give up all the things that, especially control issues, that you think you can control and, you know, fix somebody and make them do whatever.
Yeah.
And you feel sad, and you feel like, you know, I wish you would put my list at the top, and I wish you would get the right kind of paint, but it didn't happen, and I can't change that right now. And that really helps, because then grief leads you into reality, and then reality means now you can problem solve, which leads me to the second point. After grief, or kind of at the same time, you probably need to sit down with your husband and come up with a structure. He sounds like he's a nice guy, but he doesn't have a lot of structure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, not very organized, doesn't follow through well, doesn't do tasks very well. And in a kind of a communal, we're a team way, sweetheart, here's what I would like, and this is reasonable. Can you do these things? Yeah, no, these are too much. Okay, well then, can you do these things? And then you finally get to this level where what you want of him is expectable of him, and he thinks it's reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
And then you hold each other to that, and you have a little accountability party or whatever, but where he's got to put $5 in the jar when he forgets whatever, so that he has an external structure that helps him, because since your only structure is rage.
Mm-hmm.
And that
I
just
feel like that's how I can get through to him.
And it doesn't. It just makes him think he's got a crazy wife.
Yes.
Right?
I know.
So you need to be a sad person, but also a person who's got a plan that you're with him on him on. Then you don't have to feel helpless because, oh, we have a plan. You just owe me 10 more bucks. Until he finally gets it. This is sort of fun, but it's sort of painful for me, too.
Now, didn't you kind of resent your dad, the way he handled things when you were growing up?
You know, the counselor kind of brought that up to me. I never looked at it that way, but now that I look, the idea brought it up, and it's funny you mentioned it, too. Yeah, I guess I was, you know, that...
Well, do you resent that you became him?
Kind of, but he never lost control on any of us. He just internalized it and got ulcers. You know, it's like my mom is coming out, and I'm like struggling with these two total, you know.
Right. Well, deal with that with a counselor. That'll help you.
Yeah.
That'll help you get to that, what John's talking about, that being a friend of grief there.
Okay.
All right.
Well, thank you.
I'm going to send you Every Woman's Battle, because that really begins with the whole thing about comparison and him not being able to measure up. John, you want to send something else, too?
And God Will Make a Way, which has to do with the grief process, too.
All right. So, Don, we're glad that you called us.
Thank you so much.
And
I appreciate your wisdom.
God bless you.
Okay.
Hope things
God
will
bless
go
you.
Well. And I don't think it's ever a good idea for the artist of the two to be the one that pays the bills. That's probably
thought, not exactly
90% of the time. That's not going to.
Now there are
work
a lot
out.
Of artists that can do that.
Sure. Yeah. Well, 10%. But it's,
I think it's higher than that.
Anyway, Don, what kind of artist is he?
He paints, and he does large scale community projects as well. Rick Rilley. For arts for charity type stuff.
That is so great.
Wonderful ideas, very much of a visionary. But really quick, how do you feel about separating bank accounts?
No, I don't. Well, maybe that works for some people, but I...
Well, they're a last resort.
Yeah.
Sometimes
you
have
to. Yeah, there you go. Better answer. Last resort.
Do all the other things we said first.
Okay.
And why don't you take charge of the bank account? Like Steve was saying.
Yeah.
You didn't sound excited about that.
Yeah. Well, then now what's she going to complain about if she's doing the bill?
Why wouldn't you kind of go, yeah.
Good All idea. Right, then he does the dishes every night.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't want the brain damage of doing the bank account.
just paperwork and stuff, and then the stress. And
Don, let him do the dishes. Your money's important. You be the guy.
Yeah.
I mean, the person.
We've kind of been doing it jointly, and not just, like, I'll pay the bills and we'll mark it down.
Sounds like that's just working great.
Yeah. It's just fantastic.
He's got things he does better. Let him do them.
Right.
Okay. All right.
Thank you. Well,
and with that music,
that means it's time to go.
Thanks, Don.
Appreciate
How cool,
you.
Steve, that Don wanted to talk about her anger and not the husband who's like the flake.
Isn't that the truth?
I'm a faster husband, I think. Sweetheart, thank you for calling about that.
Mm-hmm.
Probably make me feel better.
Yeah. I think Dawn's got a great chance that marriage is going to develop into something. Just her attitude and looking at herself. That's wonderful.
And maybe he'll be an artist with a left brain, too.
A lot of times you you listen to a radio show and they want money from you. Well, right now, we'll ask that later. But right now, we've got something free for you. 10 Keys to a Healthy Step Family. And if you're having a hard time in the step family that you're in, step up to the phone there, make a call to 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and we'll send you the 10 Keys to a Healthy Step Family. Yes, many of you think it's impossible, but we took those out of the book by Jim Smoke, 7 Keys to a Healthy Blended Family. You know, when a family gets blended, not everybody has to get chopped up, and Jim Smoke has provided a way for blended families to work. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, you can get that. And when you support the ministry, well, we're very grateful for that, and we start sending you all sorts of things to say we're thankful. And the first thing we'll send you this month is Every Man's Challenge. How far are you willing to go for God? This will answer that question for you. All right, we'll take a break and come back with more phone calls here on 1-800-229-3000.
You're listening to a classic program from the archives of New Life Live. If you're hurting and New Life can help, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That number again is 1-800-NEW-LIFE. The boys will be right back.
Hi, Steve Arterburn here, and I want to invite you to the 2017 New Life Recovery Conference. The theme is Recovery of the Soul. It's May 20th in Leesburg, Virginia, at Leesburg Community Church. You will love this conference if you're a life recovery group leader, if you're a person in recovery, or you're just interested in these biblically based 12 steps. We're going to talk about the neglect of the soul, God, not me, God's love in recovery. We're going to talk about grace over shame and the role of family and intervention. We're going to help you discover how to launch a life recovery group. We're going to help you create a ministry. But more than anything, we're going to help you restore your soul through recovery. Come join us. It's the New Life Recovery Conference, May 20th in Leesburg, Virginia. To sign up, go to liferecoverygroups.com.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places. And New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense, and I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Glad you joined us for this classic program from the archives of New Life Live. If you're hurting and New Life can help, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to the boys.
We're back. Stephen Arterburn here with Dr. John Townsend and your phone calls. Let's go to Janet. She's calling from Dallas.
Hello.
Listens to WRGN. Hi there, Janet.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I'm surprised I got through. I'm a little bit nervous, too.
It's all right.
So, my question is I'm 45 years old, and I am very much disconnected from most people in my life.
Mm.
Most of it is my choice. Most of the estrangements are my choice. Should I and I'm really fine with it. I'm really content with my life. I am
your voice
a born
again Christian. Janet, your voice sort of trembled when you said it.
It is.
Are you really?
I'm nervous.
Are you that okay with it?
Yes, I am. I'm happy with my life. I mean, it does bother me, and that is my question. I mean, I'm not saying I'm above it all, but I'm not saying I don't sit at home and get upset and cry over this kind of stuff.
Mm.
But at what point should I really be concerned that this might be unhealthy? Because the Word of God does say that, and you say all the time, remind me all the time, that we need other people. You know?
So then it should bother you right now.
That's why my voice is shaking, I guess.
What do you mean? What did you mean by that?
Mean by what?
By that's why my voice is shaking then.
Well, I mean, as much as I'm content with my life and I'm okay with the choices I've made to separate myself from a lot of relationships, part of me says, this shouldn't be right. I shouldn't be this comfortable with this.
Okay. So you're happy, but you wonder if you should be happy.
Yes.
Okay. Tell us about the estrangement. How did all these relationships get cut off and ended and all that?
I just find that when people are really mean to me or unfair with me and unjust, I'm someone who will throw up my hands and say, okay, bye.
Are you married?
No.
Have you ever been married?
No. No children.
Huh?
No children,
okay.
You know.
So who are these relationships? Are these friends or people at work?
All family, and I have maybe two friends at this point in my life. And they come and go.
And is this lifelong?
Pardon me? Yes.
Your pattern has been
yes.
That you'll invest in a relationship, and when the person does something mean, you'll throw up your hands and leave and go to another one.
Correct.
Yeah, I would see it as a problem.
So how do I go about, I feel old and set in my ways, how do I go about fixing this kind of stuff?
Well, I think first you need to feel that it's a problem and not just think it in your head. And I am wondering why you don't feel what you should be feeling about being disconnected. Because the way that God created us is that when we've got God, that's one hole that's filled up within us, metaphorically speaking.
Yeah.
You know, but there's another hole for people, which we talk about, and we think the Bible talks about a lot. And when that hole isn't filled, Janet, you should feel some bad things, like lonely and like unloved and like not missed.
I have felt those things, but I find that my pattern has been in the past that people have not filled.
I'm not debating that at all.
Oh,
I'm not debating that people can be, you know, bad. I'm saying, why doesn't that hole stay a hole in your experience so you keep feeling those things? No matter how bad the people are, there is something in you that anesthetizes you to the pain that you're really in, I think. And there's a number of things that can happen. I wrote about this in my book, Hiding from Love, which talks about a fig leaves we wear to get over the pain we feel of being disconnected, such as being busy, being involved in very meaningful activities, learning to be self-sufficient, going to spiritual...
Me.
Sorry?
That one's me.
Okay. Well, that's a pretty normal, what we call, defense against loneliness and hurt and pain and feeling empty inside. So I would say that underneath all the, I don't know, whatever you do in your day, there's probably a lot of pain, and I would say... I'm glad you're calling, even though it was sort of a theoretical question. I'm very, very glad you're calling, because the answer to that is going to be to enter some sort of a supportive process where people can help you kind of move away from all of the busy things and the intellectual things you do in your head and get to the real Janet, and that's where the loneliness is, and then the right people can fill that up, and that's how
we
heal.
Every time I've attempted that, and I have worked at this, I mean...
All right, let me ask my trick question. Who are these people? What context are these people to help you work on it?
Mainly churches, groups of friends.
I'm not talking about just church and groups of friends. I'm talking about, since you have, you know, we're agreeing that there's an intimacy problem there, even though it's hard to experience it. I'm talking about people who specialize in this.
Never done anything like that.
Yeah, and with that, your condition, it takes people who have lots of experience and who know about the various defenses we use for what we call people who have either attachment disorders or intimacy problems or intimacy conflicts, trust problems. There's a number of ways to describe this. But I would suggest you get into a specialized context and say, you know, I'm happy, and I don't think I should be this happy being totally alone. And what's the problem? And they will help to melt you. You need to melt. And you need to be people who specialize in that, and we're going to leave you on the line to help you find some places. There are lots of those who can do that.
All right, Janet, hold on. We'll give you some help here, and we'll send you that book, How People Grow. We'll be back right after this for more New Life Live.
We appreciate your faithful support of this program. To give a tax-deductible gift of support or to order any of the products mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll be right back with New Life Live after this.
My story includes multiple physical and emotional affairs.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
My wife found out that I had betrayed her. She insisted that I would go to the everyman's battle. I had some idea, perhaps, of what to expect, but I had no idea that it would have the impact on me that it did. There's just something about the way that you meet in a large group and then the smaller breakout groups. And the sharing is just something that I've never experienced before.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
This is the first time in my life that I ever felt comfortable in sharing the real me with other men. In my mind, it is one of the most critical things that a guy can do in his recovery.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places, and New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense, and I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to the boys.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. John Townsend. Let's go to Debbie calling from Richmond, Virginia, WBTK. Hi, Debbie.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
And for your ministry. I'm so glad y'all are back. I missed you when you were gone. From the Richmond area there for a few months.
We are glad to be there and grateful for people that support us being there. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm a Club New Life member.
Great. Thank you. Well, what's going on in your life, Debbie?
Well, I have, I'm a friend of grief through several different avenues, but the one that I'm calling about today, my daughter is been in a lesbian lifestyle for about 7 years, on and off, and I've been through a lot of different layers of growing and finding out what I needed to do to change, to be the person that God wants me to be.
And does your daughter live on her own?
Yes.
Okay, so she's out of the home and in her own life.
Yes, out of the home. She's 25. And right now she lives in Florida, and she's become a paramedic, and she was going to come home to Richmond and live with us and work on finishing her nursing degree, and it sounded like there was going to be some real breakthroughs, and, you know, she kind of was coming back into our lives emotionally. She never has really left, you know, she's always stayed connected, but, you know,
us meaning you and your husband,
right? My, uh-huh. And it's her stepfather. We also have a blended family of 12 years, five children.
Okay.
I was really excited about her coming back and really praying that I would be the person that she needed me to be, and not be, you know, I've been through the whole thing of it being my fault and my guilt and my shame, and the Lord really delivered me from all that, and really looking forward to it. And then she ran into a person that she'd had a relationship with several years ago, and now she's going to come back and move in with her. As a matter of fact, she's going to go.
She's still in Florida. Yes. But now her plans to living with you have changed to living with this other woman.
Right.
In a lesbian connection.
Exactly.
All right.
And the other woman has two children, and my daughter is really wanting to connect as a family. We recently just had our first grandson, and I can tell she wants to move in with this family, and these be like her family. Mm-hmm. She wants to bring them in.
And you know that's really premature and kind of idealistic.
Well, yes. I don't know. It's definitely premature and idealistic from a lot of points of view. And one of the ones I'm having a problem with is that I would even be open to something like that as a Christian mother. I would never shut her off in any way, or my love or my acceptance even of this other girl.
Well, let's say that you know you've done a lot of work on this, and you accepted she's got her own life, and you want to be on her side while not agreeing with her, you know, what she's done and all that. So given that, what would your question be?
Should I come forthright with her and just confront the fact that, honey, this isn't going to be like an extended part of our family?
Oh, she wants the thing with the other woman and the two kids to become part of your family.
Yes.
Oh, I see. All right. Now, is she a believer?
She's supposed to be, and she went and saw The Passion. We talked about it. She went with a guy that was a Hindu, and she said she explained to him about Christ, and she cried through the whole thing.
Has she ever had a conversation with you about the Christian, what the Bible says about homosexuality?
Yes.
What's her position?
Hers or mine?
Hers. I kind of know what yours is.
Well, we kind of know what hers is. She says that I mean, she just denies its truth, I guess. She doesn't...
Okay.
You know, she doesn't really come right out and put that in words for me.
Okay.
By her actions, she shows me what she feels.
All right.
But, and essentially, she believes in Christ and believes that perhaps the Bible was interpreted or written the wrong way or means something other than is there.
I guess. I really think she knows she's in sin. Because years ago she told my son she said she was just running. She has a lot of hurt in her life. Her dad and I divorced, and some different problems, different, you know, dysfunction in my family and different things we've gone through. And she told them, she said, I'm just running. I think that she knows that.
Debbie, why don't you tell her, you know, if you want to get connected with this woman and create whatever, you know, I my values and I love you, but I'm different than you and what I think the Bible says, but you know, I still know you're an adult, can't control that, want to stay in a relationship with you, and then you and your husband determine what level of involvement you guys are comfortable with. In other words, that she is welcome because she's your daughter and you love her, but there may be, you know, personal events where she's not going to, the extended family thing is not going to be invited, and you want to make sure that's clear, just not because of any kind of we're better than, but because they're not really family. You just don't immediately adopt family out of a vacuum. Mm-hmm. And I think that she should be able to understand that there's some ways that we want just you, and then some ways we want your friends.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I'd be okay with saying there are certain occasions where they could come over and be friends with them, because anybody connected to my daughter, I would want to know.
Well, yes, and they were here just recently. I did, you know, I have invited them into my home, and then this girl, she's had a baby since she had a relationship with my daughter several years ago, and she actually named this baby after my daughter.
All right. Now, this is, you know, this is all strange, but my question is if that's your stance, what would be the problem? Because that sounds like a good stance to take. What would your question be then?
Well, I guess I know that's going to hurt her, and it's going to make her mad if I have any boundaries on my acceptance. She wants me to just be completely.
You know what? We're going to send you boundary conversations because you are doing something reasonable to say, you know, I've got my own family, and I need to have my own freedom and choices of who I accept. I can't just adopt people because you like them. And that's just fair. And so we'll see that book about having a conversation to hopefully minimize her anger. But I think that if the best way to explain it to her is to say, sweetheart, would you get mad if I insisted that all my friends be your friends? If the law of love, the one that Jesus said of treat others like you like to be treated, you like to have choices over your friends, and I have choices over mine. So that's the approach I would take, and I would really push for that. But we'll see in the book to kind of script through the conversation.
Yeah, and one final, Debbie, you can say to her, you know, honey, when I first found out about this about you, I was angry and frustrated, and I've moved beyond that, and I want to have a relationship with you. And I don't think that you want me preaching to you every time that we're together. By the same token, I don't want you preaching to me about what I should be doing or how I should be handling this. I just want us to talk to each other and connect with each other. You feel like it's okay. I feel like there's a problem here. And so wherever I can feel comfortable with you and your friends, I'm going to invite that to happen. But you'll have to respect me when I tell you I'm hurting or I really need some space or that's not going to be acceptable for me.
And if you ever have a judgment call and you don't know which way to go, go towards accepting them.
You mean, like, for instance, my son's fixing to graduate from Liberty University and it's going to be a big family affair.
Mm-hmm.
And she's going to want to bring this woman, and her children.
Okay, what would be
the mom's going to be here, and
what would be the negative to that? I'm not saying I know because it's a difficult situation. I'm saying what would be the negative in your eyes?
Well, the negative is, in a way, it's showing my acceptance of the situation, and even my daughter.
Debbie, how is that showing acceptance? Are you holding a big sign out in front of your house that says we agree with the gay position?
No, but she knows if she brings them, I'm going to love them. I'm going to love them, love them. I'm going to love those kids.
Yeah, you love the people. You don't love their positions. And I would make.
We appreciate your faithful support of this program. To give a tax-deductible gift of support or to order any of the products mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll be right back with New Life Live after this. At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
You know, one of the great things about TV.NewLife.com is some people will never read a little chapter of a book, but you can put a video in front of them and say, hey, honey, watch this with me. And they'll sit down and they'll watch that 5-minute clip, and that 5-minute clip may change their lives forever and, of course, may change yours. Here's what one of our viewers on New Life Television said.
We looked at the budget. We decided, you know, I'm not getting those benefits from Netflix. So we canceled Netflix and subscribed to the good stuff.
If you have a problem, We have a program to match that problem, and it's going to provide you hope, help, and healing. You know, I don't know what you're waiting for. You will never find a better value than all of the transforming content that you'll find at tv.newlife.com. Your life will never be the same. We really are proud to be part of tv.newlife.com.
Glad you joined us for this classic program from the archives of New Life Live. If you're hurting and New Life can help, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to the boys.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. John Townsend. And
can we address Janet again?
Let's do.
I was thinking about it over the break, Janet, and everybody's interested in this question. If your daughter is a believer, then that's a different situation. And I'm not sure from what you can tell. Let me just give you both scenarios to figure out. The Bible has different standards for believers in Jesus than it does a non-believer. And so with the believer, you might want to consider, you know, telling her very directly, as a person who's, you know, in the same faith and the same biblical faith with you, I have a problem with this. And you might want to consider, like, the Matthew 18 and 1 Corinthians passages about limiting contact with somebody so that they kind of get that there's a consequence for, you know, not living in the faith and rebelling against the faith. If she's not a Christian, that's a different matter because they, you know, they're people that need to have the anchor of the Savior. And in those cases, I would see that if it's not going to disrupt your whole party, if it's going to be a bad party, I'm concerned about your son. He needs to have a good time, and that's number one. It's his party, and if he's against it, if it's going to be weird for people, then don't invite her by any means. It's his party, nobody else's. But if it would be a good time and people would get along, then you're not accepting or condoning the homosexuality. You're just being a friend. So those are a way to stair-step that kind of decision.
Yep. I hope that something we've said here is helpful because big dilemma, many parents face it. The question is, are you going to have a relationship with this person or not? That's the big question. A lot of people, they answer that no. And we applaud you for saying, I want to be in relationship. Let's go to Renee, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. WFIL is the station. Hi, Renee.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm great. And you?
Oh, I'm okay, I guess. Not really, or I wouldn't be calling.
Well, but I'm glad you did.
I like your program, and I like how you're not judgmental. And you're really caring and sincere.
Thank you.
So I appreciate that, and I get a lot out of your program.
Thanks.
Well, we tend to be caring and sincere on Tuesdays.
Oh, okay.
It's our day. How could we help?
I have a lot of issues, but I wanted to ask you about the most recent one that came up about 4 months ago, and that's an addiction to crack cocaine.
That's a tough one.
I heard your other caller. She was single in her 40s, and that's me. Yeah. I'm single in my 40s, lonely, disconnected from a lot of people. I'm seeing an addictions counselor right now, and she's given me a deadline to stop the habit by the end of April. I was wondering if you thought that this can be conquered by prayer or anything like that. Fasting, prayer, I don't know. I've been praying about it.
Why wouldn't you get rehab?
I've been hospitalized before for depression, and I don't like to be in the hospital.
Renee, if you're addicted to crack cocaine, which is one of the most potent and addictive substances on the planet.
Is it?
Oh, have you not done any research on this?
Yeah, I have.
It takes an alcoholic, you know, many times 10 years before they truly see the effects of addiction. Crack cocaine, a couple of times you start experiencing.
There's some. This thing owns people, and it's really scary.
I noticed how controlling it is.
Oh, yeah, and so the whole thing about fasting and prayer, absolutely. But if we're going to do what the Bible says do lots of things in addition to fasting and prayer.
And it's interesting, your situation is the opposite of the cure, because we fix addiction problems with connection, not disconnection. And they either start with disconnection or they produce disconnection. But you have to get reconnected with God, and that's the part of the program where we surrender. We acknowledge that we can't do it on our own. We surrender to God, and then we let that surrender lead us to connecting with other people, where we're sitting around in a group of fellow strugglers, hearing their stories and asking them for encouragement, help, and accountability. Your addiction counselor is really going to be a little help to you if that person isn't encouraging you to move beyond just that one relationship and have many other relationships that will help you heal. Mm-hmm. You need to be in meetings.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, she's been trying to get me to go to a dual diagnosis meeting.
Okay, go.
It's on Tuesday night.
We'll go.
Tonight.
why wouldn't you do that?
I'm afraid of the confidentiality.
Oh,
issue.
Big deal.
And
so
I know
somebody,
that,
Renee, come on.
I know
on.
For a fact that people talk about
well,
people.
So? You'll be fine. Uh-huh. Yeah. You'll be fine. It's yeah. not a good enough excuse, confidentiality.
Renee, I'm really concerned about your life.
Yeah.
And I hope for confidentiality, but there's a higher law here, which is your whole existence. So I would hope you can, as much as possible, find safe places. But safe or unsafe, I would get in connection with people who have experiences on these things. This is a big deal.
The worst thing is that you die from this and people say, we never knew what was wrong with her, you know, because you were so confidential. What would be great is that you go and you discover, hey, they'll keep it confidential, especially when you ask them to.
But that's like the worst. You get a bad reputation. And
it's not the worst. What you're going through is the worst. Now, I'm out of time, but I'm going to send you the Life Recovery Bible. I hope that'll be a help to you as you struggle in this area. And I hope you will just abandon those fears of being known and go and become known in that group of people that are all struggling to
and,
be healthy.
And maybe just get back hospitalized into a rehab center again. This thing is a big deal.
Sure is. All right. Hold on. We'll send you the Life Recovery Bible. Others that want information on that, you can call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It is also there that you can find out about every man's battle.
There are so many great things coming up. The Restore Conference that was so powerful this past weekend is going to be, again, July 21st. And it is amazing. Shelley Martinkus does it. Her husband, Jason, does the Every Man's Battle one. It really works. Intimacy and Marriage is also July 21st in Washington, D.C. And Take Your Life Back, September the 8th. Our Life Recovery Conference, which is not an intensive. It's a 5-9 conference. We hardly ever do conferences. It's in Leesburg, Virginia. And you can find out about it at liferecoverygroups.com. Larry Sonnenberg is in Greece today. He's trying to figure out a way for us to get more people on that trip. If you want to go retrace the footsteps of Paul with us in October, get on the waiting list, and we'll see how Larry does in opening up some new spaces. We just ran out quicker than any other trip we've ever taken. But hopefully, things can open up.
You know, we are a listener-supported ministry, and those that support us, you help us stay on the air and answer people's questions. And when you do that, we send you the newest book in the Every Man's Battle series called Every Man's Challenge. It's about spiritual growth. The subtitle, How Far Are You Willing to Go for God? The TV star, TV and movie star, Chuck Norris, wrote the foreword to that. And I think you'll find this a great book, asking you some questions about your manhood and showing you how to be God's man. Our resource, 7 Keys to a Healthy Blended Family by Jim Smoke and 10 Keys to a Healthy Step Family are free at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. John, as we close out the program today, had some very interesting calls. Give us some scripture to lead us out of the show.
Well, I was thinking about kind of like where people can go when they got a question like they had. In Proverbs 3, it says, let love and faithfulness never leave you and bind them around your neck and write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you'll win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. When you don't know what to do, go to God and say, I need more love and I need more faithfulness. The love keeps us relational, and the faithfulness keeps us true to the right things.
Great two words, love and faithfulness. And another word that John mentioned earlier, willingness. Oh, isn't that great? All right, call us if you need some help. 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go to the website, newlife.com. And if you'd like to complain about anything that we said today, you can fax us at 949-494-1272. God bless you. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this classic program from the archives of New Life Live. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but we also need you to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. That means we depend on your gifts to stay on the air, which is why your financial help is so important. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again next time for New Life Live.